Welcome to the Therapeutic Food Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Mitchell. I'm an integrative nutrition health coach, therapeutic diet expert, and founder of The Road to Living Whole. There are many different diets out there. It's hard to know which one is right for you with your chronic illness and autoimmune disease. In this podcast, I'm going to share with you the foundational pieces every single therapeutic diet out there shares, and also how to use the best one for your particular diagnosis. If you've been looking for a meal planning partner, help navigating the complicated healthcare system, and want to feel better quickly, I'm your girl. Grab your kombucha and notebook. Let's dive in. I am thrilled for this episode because I've wanted to bring dentistry to the podcast because it is really such an important aspect of health. I have had clients who've had recurring SIBO and we couldn't figure out why. Turned out it was an oral infection. And, you know, we know that your oral health, like your teeth and the cavities and things or lack of, show us an inside look on what's going on inside. Not a lot of people know that, and not a lot of people know what to do or who to go to. So today I have Dr. Blaine Leeds, and he is going to introduce himself and his expertise and share his story. He's got so much to share, and I'm so excited. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Leeds.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's my 28th year in the profession of dentistry. And, you know, I guess I'd go to dental school again tomorrow if they asked me to start all over. Because it's been a very rewarding profession and I love what I do, but it's changed so much in the last 7 years or so. I mean, I work almost exclusively now in telehealth. I used to have physical offices where I had 7 different hygienists working for me doing 13 days a week of dental hygiene under roof in my little practice in a little town in Arkansas. And so we're getting ready to open another office in Arkansas again. Very excited about that. And hopefully in Utah and California, we're going to open multiple locations and we're going to focus on what I do almost every day now, which is clear aligner orthodontics and sleep dentistry. And those are the two things. I'm not a specialist. I'm a general dentist. I was one of the first 177, I think, general dentists certified to do Invisalign way back in 1997, back when they had covered wagons and stuff, you know, and that seems like forever ago, doesn't it? I mean, 1997 is, wow, it's, what is it, 26 years ago now? Wow. Hard to believe that that's that long ago. I can remember Y2K. You know, it seems just like yesterday. We were trying to prep everything for the great, you know, apocalyptic event that was going to happen. But that's what I do. I consult nationally with groups of people like Invisalign and Smile Direct Club and Candid and OrthoFX and groups that do clear aligner orthodontics. And then I also have focused the last 7 years or so of my career on sleep dentistry, because only 4 in 10 patients can tolerate a CPAP machine, which is the standard of care for treatment for sleep apnea in our medical population. And I was talking to a patient this morning about that. And I think the number would be a lot higher if the medical community started patients with the right attachment. A lot of times there's, not to get too specific into that particular realm, but that's what I've been really focused on. And the primary reason that I am focused on that is because back when I went to dental school and graduated back in 1996 from the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis.
Go Vols.
Yeah, go Vols. The Vols got a big game this weekend with Alabama. I don't know when this will air, but the third Saturday in October has always been a big thing for Tennessee and Alabama. I'm actually an Arkansas Razorback fan. Because Arkansas doesn't have a dental school yet, but we're about to get one next year. So back when I went to dental school, thank goodness the Arkansas State Legislature paid for me to be an in-state student at any school in the country that I wanted to go to. If it was Loma Linda Dental School in California, I would have been an in-state student. So, but we went to the University of Tennessee, very close to home, only 3 hours from where we were. But back at that time, we weren't talking about sleep apnea or sleep or how the jaw's connected to our sleep situation very much at all. And so when I became a patient myself, my wife, she's a very deep sleeper. She would hear me struggling to breathe at nighttime, and my snoring and my obstructed breathing would wake her up. And so she got very concerned. And then I started having elevated blood pressure for no apparent reason. And instead of my doctor, thankfully, saying, oh, it's probably genetic, probably high cholesterol, let's just start you on a beta blocker, you know, someone said to me, well, you know, if you're having trouble, you know, breathing at night too, it may be sleep apnea. And so I was very fortunate that my diagnostic path, you know, I got sent to some people that helped me. And so I was one of those 4 in 10 people or higher, if you get the right attachment, that got a nasal pillow attachment from the very beginning. The first night I put my CPAP machine on, it took me less time than it takes to put on a baseball cap. It wasn't uncomfortable to me that bad at all, because I slept so well. I slept 4.5 hours solid. I probably got into REM sleep twice in that 4.5 hour period, which is almost unheard of. And I woke up feeling like I could sprint a marathon. You could not believe the difference once I got some restorative sleep. And it is so important, you know, to our daily lives. And so then I began to realize, holy smokes, I can treat my patients. I don't have to just do this implant on this one tooth or do these veneers on these 6 or 7, 8, 10 teeth. I can treat the whole person. And so we started all the way back in 2011, 2012, 2014, saving people's lives in the dental office. I had a gentleman come and tackle me one day at a hygiene appointment, and I'd forgotten who he was. And he's hugging me in the hall of my office. I said, okay, hey, I'm a hugger too, but this is a little bit ridiculous. It's kind of intense. And I said, what's going on? He goes, you don't remember me, but 6 months ago, I came in here and you said I might have sleep apnea, and I'm 67 years old and I'm a widower. So nobody could hear me hear my sleep difficulties. And I went to my doctor because you told me to, and I got a sleep study done, and I stopped breathing 91 times in the first hour of my sleep study. And he said that they put me on a CPAP machine. They've helped me with my diet. I've lost 61 pounds. I can sleep. So, you know, and when you don't sleep, your body stays in a state of stress. You deposit a lot more cortisol related fat on your torso. And so it leads to things like the number one killer of Americans, which is heart attack, which we all know happens many times during the night. And how about that? It's happening when there's a sleep event that's causing the cardiac trampolining that we see in our sleep studies with our patients. And so that's what got me here. Is it Marion? You said you pronounce it.
Yep. Like Maid Marian from Robin Hood. Yeah.
There you go. And I should have clarified that off air before. Fine.
Yeah.
But that's how I got to this point today, Marion, sitting and talking to you using the World Wide Web.
I love it. We did talk about this before we went live, and you are big into nutrition, which I shared the story with you as well. Was I used to be in a networking group, and there was a dentist in that group, and he was like, what you eat doesn't matter. Just come in and I'll clean your teeth and you can eat whatever you want. And the health coach in me was like, what?
Well, and I will say hearty horse feathers to that right here. You know, let's get that out of the way quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Disagree. So let's talk about your story with the whole person dentistry, which includes nutrition. Where did you get started with that?
Well, like I said, with CPAP for me, it helped me realize, okay, let's be thorough and complete. You know, I had a really good old mentor in dentistry. His name is Imtiaz Manji, and Imtiaz was a dental assistant by trade, but he started a company in Toronto called Experdent way back in the 80s. And he started helping dental offices learn to take better care of their patients and learn to have systems in their office where they keep appointments. And he really transformed my life and my practice way back in 2001 when I was at a meeting in Troy, Michigan. I'll never forget it. And he said, where is Dr. Leeds? You know, with his strong accent. And I raised my hand and he said, it says here that you have 1500 active patients in your practice. And he said, I'm calling on you because that number is way too accurate and round. He said, so it sounds like you made it up. And I said, well, that's because I did make it up. I mean, I didn't have time to fill out all this paperwork that you want me to fill out for this meeting. And so I got as close as I thought I could in my brain, but I did learn what an active patient was. And I did. And the next time I saw MTs, I was able to tell him that I had 1,436 active patients and I knew what that meant. And so, but, you know, not to get into the gory details of how to manage dental practice, but MTs taught me to think, you know, to think in thorough and complete terminology, and let's take care of the whole person. And I mean, I've done even some outlandish things like I told one patient to continue smoking because I really thought they were going to go crazy if they didn't. And also I did something that almost every dental practitioner and medical team and support person and physician's assistant or whatever you are needs to do. In fact, Scott Galloway sent out an email. I don't know if you follow Scott Galloway at all, but Scott's a business teacher at NYU Stern College of Business. And the heading for his email today was, our superpower is to listen. And our practice, I'm sure there were days when I didn't do it as well as others, but I and my team really tried to listen to our patients. And if you take a little bit of time and you don't have 19 people rowed up in 19 different rooms ready, waiting on you, if you spend a little bit more time and you listen, you'll understand that your patient says, well, everything's great, except I really don't sleep well. Whoa. You know, they'll tell you something, you know, that you can apply to their lives and actually help them. And so as medical providers, are we bringing value, you know, to our patients? Am I bringing value to Marion's, you know, podcast today? That's what I'm about. Can I tell this story about what I'm passionate about, which is sleep apnea and underdeveloped jaws in children, how we can help, you know, in the future? That's really what I want to do, is bring as much value as I can, you know, moving forward for our profession and using telehealth and AI and all the cool technologies that we have in front of us.
Yeah. I feel like you are a rarity, you know, just like in allopathic medicine, there are those few doctors who are truly patient-centered, but they're few and far between. And I feel like as dentists go, you are also one of those rare ones that really, truly cares and wants to treat the whole person. So I'm really...
Well, I sure.
Just excited to have you on and to introduce you to people. And hopefully as your dental practice expands and you get more offices, then people will be able to get the quality care that they deserve.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let's talk about whole person dentistry. And how do you define that? And what does that look like? I mean, obviously you listen, right? But what does that look like? Your patient comes to you, maybe it's their first time, or maybe they've been coming for cleanings and stuff and finally decide to open up, you know, one day, just kind of, you know, it happens. You know, what does whole person dentistry look like? What are some questions that you ask? What are you looking for? How are you helping guide people with nutrition? Because, you know, food does matter, you know, so let's talk about that and show people what a good dentist looks like.
Well, we'll sure try to do that. I think good dentist, here's a specific example. I think a good dentist or a good hygienist takes blood pressure. When's the last time you went to the dentist and they took your blood pressure? Once I had issues with sleep apnea, we started doing that all the time, because it's just a nice service to our patients. It hardly costs anything to have a blood pressure cuff around the office, or a wrist monitor, or, you know, a nice digital monitor that, you know, while somebody's, you know, they're processing x-rays or something for a patient, they can be taking their blood pressure. And you'd be surprised how many patients, it's been a while since they've taken their blood pressure. And of course, in the medical world, that's the first thing they do. They want to know what your vital signs are. What's the baseline? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. And it is a good measure of how someone's doing. And also, if I'm about to cram a bunch of anesthetic with epinephrine in somebody's head and do a surgical procedure on somebody, it'd be nice to know if their blood pressure was 270 over 140, because, you know, they're about to die. So they really don't need to be at the dental office right now. And so, you know, I think that's one specific way to do it. You know, another way is answer your gosh darn telephone. I mean, you know, I love technology, but, you know, sometimes we need to go at 180 degrees in the opposite direction from where technology is taking us. I mean, I was working with a major manufacturer of a really good piece of equipment that I use on a daily basis. I've been trying to call them for 2 weeks. I can't find their phone number. I can't. It's like, do you want me to use your product for the hundreds of patients a week that I can use or not? I mean, so I would say, you know, even in 2023, answer your phone. Or if you don't want to answer your phone, pay some third party, has a nice sounding voice like Marion's on the other end, that's answering for you on your behalf. Because did you know that 39% of phone calls to dental offices go unanswered? Not leave a voicemail, but just unanswered. And I'm telling you, 90% of these practices out there need every one of those patients that are calling in. They need every new patient they can get their hands on. So maybe answer the phone. You know, and in our office, we had pretty good luck seeing emergency patients. A lot of dental offices will not see an emergency patient that's not of record. And we kind of took the opposite approach of that, because you can help someone get out of pain today, they're going to be a patient for life. And we allowed time every day in our schedule to see emergencies. And then if we didn't see it, have any emergency patients call in that day, we had an extra long lunch, which everybody was, so it was a win-win. You know, we either got to see some new people and help them, you know, so those three things I would say, add a little bit of extra service. Cause you know, Marion, what the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is, right?
What's that?
That little something extra, you know, so do a little something extra. Maybe take a blood pressure reading for somebody, answer your telephone, you know, hand them a glass of water when they come in, or have a Keurig machine so they can make some coffee. I know it might stain their teeth, but you're about to clean them anyway. You know,
they're going to drink it no matter what.
But really, it comes back to the golden rule, right? I mean, just treat everybody like you want to be treated, you know? And if we'll do that, I mean, you'll have not only, you'll have a really high functional office if you'll do that.
Yeah. And happy patients.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about sleep.
You got it.
Written a book, you know, and I know you focus a lot on children, but I know a lot of children grow up into adults who've never been helped. So let's talk about that.
Great. Well, where do you want to start? I can share with you some of the problems that we see, you know, and
let's do that.
Yeah. Me about it. You know, as I said, I was an apnea patient myself. I had trouble losing weight for a long time. And part of that was because I wasn't sleeping. And when you don't sleep, you don't restore your body and your brain, then your body's under stress and you secrete these cortisol hormones, you know, that are hard for, you know, these stress hormones that cause you to put on weight. And my colleague and my co-author of the book, Brian Ferry, I need to give Brian a plug while we're on here. I mean, he's texting me working on the finishing of the book, but Brian actually lost his wife to sleep apnea. It's not very often that you'll have a patient that will, on their death certificate, it will say complications of sleep apnea, because they usually die of a heart attack or pulmonary problems or something. But he tragically lost his wife 7 or 8 years ago. She had 2 CPAP machines underneath her bed with the cellophane still wrapped around the box. And she had been treated for God only knows what different types of things, anxiety, depression. She was on a lot of prescription medications and to no avail. And when Brian and I met, we knew that, you know, we had to try to tell this story about how America is not sleeping and what can we do to help. So many times in medicine and in dentistry, we treat the signs and symptoms of the problem rather than the problem. And in medicine, you know, they're helping people breathe today, you know, if they can get them a CPAP machine today, but we should do a poll. We should survey how many patients out there that have CPAP machines, how long it took them to get them. You know, because I was talking to a guy today, he's got to go in and have a polysomnography in the hospital, an in-hospital sleep test. And it was like 3 weeks before he could get in to do that. And they expected to be another 6 to 7 weeks before he gets the CPAP machine. I mean, by definition, apnea means without air. And these people are not breathing, you know, so we need to figure out some way to get them help as soon as possible. But, you know, a lot of Americans out there, a lot of children are having trouble with sleep. I was at a very prestigious educational meeting back in May, and there were medical providers that were there, PhD medical people, discussing how sleep apnea did not really exist in children and that they'll probably grow out of it as their skull cavity size increases as they get older. And I had colleagues of mine get up and walk out of the auditorium, and they quoted a study this person did of 7 children. I mean, I treated 7 children this week for sleep apnea. So, you know, the medical community, for whatever reason, there's a huge disconnect between us and them on this issue. And primarily it's because, you know, we have a dental school, we have podiatry school, we have law school, we have, you know, other professional schools. So they don't teach doctors about feet or teeth or accounting or, you know, how to argue for the plaintiff. You know, so... Yeah. So there's,
I have a question.
Yeah,
when it comes to children, you know, they say, oh, it's the jaw. It's the, you know, like my son had to have a palate spreader. Mm-hmm. Right. And once they opened up his palate, his snoring went away. Right.
Yeah.
And so he really doesn't, ever since he had the palate spreader, now he has Invisalign now, and he used to snore. I mean, he would wake me up,
yeah. You
know, and once we got that, his jaw addressed, it went away and he sleeps great now when he wants to sleep. He's a teenager, so sleep is not his biggest priority. But
Well, it was the opposite when I was a teenager. I wanted to sleep till like 10 a.m.
I
How did that change? I guess
know.
we have devices now that keep everybody awake. So,
Right. So I know firsthand that the jaw really matters. So what are we seeing in children? Is it functional that something's not growing right? And what are some of the options that people have?
Sure. And the answer to that is 100% yes. It is functional. We have a nation of children who have underdeveloped jaws. And
is that nutrition related?
Some of it is because in the West, you know, we have soft diet. We feed baby food and sometimes they're bottle fed instead of breastfed. We know now looking back on it that breastfeeding is actually more of a chewing motion rather than a suckling motion. So it actually breastfeeding in its proper form actually helps a baby, an infant, a newborn, helps them actually expand their palate in the way that they function. But most babies go home from the hospital from the incubator with a pacifier in. And when you suck on a pacifier, it moves your jaw muscles together and that moves baby molars together, which makes the palate do this. I mean, the palate.
It goes into a pyramid instead of being a round, like almost rainbow shape.
We want a flat, broad palate, and we want that because we want the tongue to rest up high in the palate against the backs of the upper front teeth. And when patients don't have room for their tongue, there's only one place it can go, and that's back toward their spine, which is on top of their airway space. And we actually, sadly, we have children who are seen by a doctor and the doctor doesn't understand that it could be oral related. And so they take out their tonsils or their adenoids, you know, at age,
which are part of the lymphatic system that are first line of defense against viruses and bacteria. And
it happens. It's happening right now. As we speak, there's a child who's going under sedation right now to have their tonsils removed. And we can almost guarantee that that child has underdeveloped upper jaw and it's so important that our kids are not just our kids, but all humans, we are obligate nasal breathers. We should be breathing through our nose effortlessly, silently, clearly, invisibly all the time. So when a child is not breathing through their nose, there's a sensor near the parasinuses in the back of the oropharynx. Sorry to drop all these $3 words on you here, but in the back of the airway space, the only time that these glands around the parasinus are stimulated to secrete nitric oxide, just like Vin Diesel adds to his Fast and Furious sedan, whatever he happens to be in that particular one, that's the only time that our body secretes that substance. And it's all only stimulated by nasal breathing. Well, why is that important? Well, it's important because that substance is a natural vasodilator. So it helps speed oxygen to the brain, oxygen to the muscles, rich blood to everywhere it needs to go. And so
I feel like that's really popular in social media. They're talking about like mouth taping and things like that to help people breathe through their nose at night and how that actually reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease. Is that true?
100% true. Because if we get patients breathing better through their nose, then they're going to get better restorative sleep. They're not going to have these fight or flight moments during the night where they're stopping breathing and racing their cardiac structure. You know, in fact, that's how one of our sleep study pieces of technology was invented. Is MIT, they were studying cardiac coupling and they realized, holy smokes, we can measure respiration with this device too. And so that became the origins for this, what we call the sleep image ring. That's a company that one company of a product that we use, but there's another great company called Wesper that makes something similar. These devices are so comfortable. You wear them on your index finger, you tie it to an app on your smartphone, and you get a wonderful sleep study that is 98% as accurate as hospital polysomnography. So you need to check with your dentist or doctor. Some states do not allow dentists to administer that sleep study. I think New York is one of those. Most of the states where I'm licensed, I can do a sleep study for my patients and we get a really accurate reading because it's at home. It's comfortable. They sleep in their own bed. They don't have electrodes taped all over their body. They're not worried about
and beeping and people watching.
Yeah. And they're not worried about what bodily functions they're going to do while someone's watching them, you know, in the middle of the night. And it's really kind of a creepy process. I mean, I've been through it and I much prefer sleeping at home and falling asleep with Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Fallon or somebody, and, you know, sleep, waking up, you know, with my
sleep study done. Yeah, the less invasive, the better always. I get so frustrated with how invasive procedures are when there are options that are so much less invasive and just as accurate. But they're like, oh, but we need to pay people. I'm like, but people need to actually have accurate results. And how more accurate can you get than somebody at home in their own bed and with their own smells, with their own sounds, you know?
Well, it reminds me of the time that I had a young patient who was 7 or 8 years old, and she needed a procedure done. And there was a laser procedure that she could have had done, which was completely painless. And she could have had it done with just a little bit of mild sedation and almost been healed when she walked out the door. But one of the doctors that I had referred her and her mother to was sending her to an oral surgeon for this god-awful archaic procedure. And it, just out of lack of knowledge of just not knowing that this other stuff was available. And I was like, who's sending you there? She got very lucky because she happened to have a hygiene visit in between the time that she was supposed to go have this other ghastly procedure done. And so we were able to just say, oh, no, we're not doing that. And then I got to, you know, have a nice, uncomfortable conversation with the specialist, you know, that I'm like, hey, have you been to a meeting this decade? I mean, we don't do that stuff anymore. I mean, but that just brings me back to another point about holistic medicine. And it's never been more apparent to me as a provider than it is now. And that is that, you know, what you're doing with your podcast, educate yourself. It is your health. It's your mouth. They're your eyeballs. It's your physical body. And nobody cares as much about it as you do and your family and your children. So when you're, be that advocate for yourself, be reading, be researching, because we've got the internet now. I mean, you, and don't read the, you know, don't go to the wrong sites or whatever. Curate yourself, you know, make sure that it's a good site that you're reading about the process on, but educate yourself or, you know, I mean, I remember some of these people that got into med school when I was applying to dental school. I mean, they're human beings just like us, right? They put their pants on and take them off just like we do. There's good plumbers and bad ones. There's good lawyers and bad ones. There's good chefs and bad ones. Same for medicine. And, you know, I wish I had a magic eight ball where I could just hand it to everybody and say, is this person good? You know, and then no.
Well, if a patient or patient's parents do come educate themselves and they come to you, you can have an intelligent conversation, right? Like you're able to maybe tear apart fact from fiction or half truths or incomplete truths, you know, or incomplete information and fill in the gaps and things like that. And I think that is also what sets apart a lot of medicine from, you know, again, those who care, because those who are not threatened by patients who have attempted to educate themselves and advocate for themselves. And like, I'm a bad patient because I ask lots of questions and I want to know why, and I want to know what less invasive options are and all this stuff. And I'm a bad patient. I get fired from doctors. I don't go to those very often anymore, but I have gotten fired because I didn't trust them. And they're like, well, if you don't trust me, then why are you here? And I'm like, it's not that I don't trust you. I'm asking questions. I want to know all of my options. I don't like the option you gave me. I want to know what other options there are. And they just are like, they kick me out the door.
Well, and let's let that be the byline for the podcast today. You know, like, it's okay to get fired as a patient. If you get fired over just asking a few questions or maybe three more questions than they felt like they had time to hear before they got to their tea time or whatever they were hurrying off to do, or their lake house or whatever, you know, if it was 5:30 and you were asking them another question, shame on them, you know? I mean, good for you that you ask questions. That's what I say.
I love it. Okay. Back to the topic on hand. I love that you talk about that. Let's talk about the things that you are seeing functionally that can impact sleep. You know, so first is the jaw shape, and that starts with breastfeeding versus bottle feeding, pacifier, non-pacifier, chewing, not, you know, chewing food versus soft food. Yep. You just kind of barely chew and swallow because you don't have to. But what about like, you know, so I have I don't think we've talked about this, but I have a baby on the way, right? Oh, and one of the things that you hear about a lot is tongue tie. So maybe we can define, and I actually know of adults who did not get diagnosed until they were 18, 19, 20, you know, or older, where, you know, they can't stick out their tongue very far. And so how prevalent is that? And how much, you know, and I know people are like, oh, well, I don't want them to have that clip. I don't trust it. Da, da, da. How important is it to have something like that addressed?
Well, quite important. It's vital, in fact. And I'll tell you a funny story. I've got a colleague who is a nationally renowned speaker on this topic, on tongue tie. Okay. He or she, I won't designate the pronoun, so we'll keep it anonymous. Okay. But it's funny, and she or he would probably tell you themselves. But she's a great dentist. Her parents are dentists, both of them. And as a provider, she learned into her sleep training that she had a tongue tie, undiagnosed, for half of her career and just had it corrected. So it is very subtle, and it takes the right practitioner to understand no mom or dad should be concerned about repairing these, and they need to be repaired as early as they're diagnosed. Mm-hmm. I have another colleague who has a patient who had her chief complaint. The patient's chief complaint was neck pain, like on the right side. And they thought, okay, because is it her jaw joint? Is it, she had been to every physical therapist, every massage therapist, you know, the neck doctor, the back doctor, the neurologist, everybody. Well, they did a very thorough dental exam for this nice lady, and she had a tongue tie. And they took care of the procedure. And by the way, what is the procedure in 2023? There is a laser procedure that cauterizes as it clips the tie. And this can be done under light sedation. It's an outpatient procedure. It's very easy. Patients just feel better once the procedure is over. There is some healing time. There is some soreness. Occasionally they have to do conventional surgery along with it and have some suturing and stuff, but it's not bad at all as far as the healing time. And so if you're concerned about there, if you're listening out there and you're thinking about having a tongue tie, just make sure you're with the right practitioners to do the procedure, and it's going to go great. But anyway, back to our story. This nice lady had the procedure done. And about 5 minutes later, after leaving the office, she called this office team back in tears. And they're like, oh my God, what's wrong? And she had called them. They were tears of joy, because as she was sitting in the parking lot, she broke down in tears because she realized she had never been able to turn her head to the right and look over her shoulder to back her car up out of a parking spot until that very moment after her tongue tie had been repaired. So the tongue tie was trapping muscles down underneath the jaw that were connected to her sternocleidomastoid muscle here on the side of her neck and keeping her from functioning. So tongue ties are really important. Have them diagnosed early and often. Take your child to pediatric dentist when they're 1 to 2 years old for their first visit. Sometimes their first visit can be in your arms. You just walk in, you see that it's not a scary place. They get a sugar-free sucker and they leave, you know? Right. But get them started early and find those tongue ties, because it's a big part of sleep disorder, breathing, and other issues.
Awesome. Thank you for going into that. What else are you seeing that is maybe leading to apnea in children and thus adulthood?
Yeah, well, it's the, you know, we're four generations or so into this. The experts talk about how, you know, years ago, not every mom was working as much outside the home. So breastfeeding lasted longer. And so we didn't see it. I mean, you may remember when you were a little kid, maybe only one kid on your block had braces, you know, one out of four. Now every child has braces. Many of them are having teeth removed to have their braces done. I mean, would we remove a toe to put it in a shoe? No, we wouldn't do that. Why are we removing teeth when the jaws are too small? Mm-hmm. You know, so we're seeing that the jaws are just getting smaller and smaller. Palates are higher arched. I mean, I see Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps will listen to the podcast. Michael is plugging in anti-anxiety medication right now in commercials. I know he has sleep apnea undiagnosed. It may be diagnosed by now by the time the podcast airs, but he has, his molars are too close together. He has an anterior open bite. Therefore his palate must be vaulted. I mean, this is a problem. And so we're four generations in. And so people will say, oh, well, you look just like your dad. That's why. No, they both breathe the same way. And they do have a similar facial structure, but you know, we see that if we diagnose it early and we treat it. And how do we treat it? Well, we treat it with like your son had a fixed palatal expander. Sometimes we'll do that. Sometimes we'll, on a small child, we'll use a little tiny appliance that almost replaces their binky that they sleep with at nighttime. And it helps. And basically it allows the tongue to do its job, which is to be the body's own palatal expander. The tongue is supposed to be flat and broad and big, and our smile should be big and wide and broad. And we're not seeing that. And so basically this little appliance that replaces the pacifier, kids can sleep with it in place at night, and it keeps the gums and the cheek tissue and the tongue, it keeps that tissue off the teeth and allows the tongue to do its job, which is to do the expansion.
How old would it be ideally to start using something like that? If you notice that's what's happening, what's the ideal age for that?
Yeah, we start them at age 2.
Okay.
If we see issues at age 2, we try to start some sort of a removable appliance.
So that, those early appointments are not just moneymakers. They're actually for a purpose.
Exactly right. And if someone says to you, when your child is 7 years old, if they say, well, we'll just wait till they're 10 or 12. And because I've told patients this, sadly, you know, I used to do this. Let's just wait till they're 10 or 12 when all their baby teeth are out. Then we'll go to the orthodontist and they'll move everything around. But the problem is that the child may not be breathing well or sleeping well that whole time.
Like so, my son.
Yeah.
And luckily he got the palate spreader when I think he was 7, and it made such a world of difference for all of us and his sleep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes, you know, and people say to me, oh my God, that's a key in there. And they're cranking that key and they're turning the bone tissue. Oh my God. Well, it's very small movements. It's not any more movement than they would move with, you know, braces on their teeth. So, and many patients do benefit from early stage palatal expansion like that. And fixed is good because the kids don't have to worry about taking it in and out. And I used to call them sandwich catchers in my practice because, I mean, I defy anyone to eat peanut butter and jelly without just jamming itself, you know, right above the screw in the palate. So you've got to have good little tools to keep everything clean. But typically a patient only has to wear one of those about 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about treating kids is they're growing and developing. So that bone tissue is all spongy and soft in the oral cavity. So we can move things around really quickly. You'll be surprised. You know, for example, we've got a patient had numerous ear problems, inner ear problems. And, you know, you can imagine if the skull's not shaped right, then, you know, you've got eustachian tubes and fluid to the ears and flowing uphill and things that shouldn't happen. And so we even see kids that benefit, you know, don't have to have ear tubes anymore because their skull is shaped the right way. Their palate's flat, their ear canals are now on the right level. And it's amazing.
I was one of those babies that had chronic ear problems. In fact, my parents said that I would try to talk to them, but it sounded like I was talking to them underwater. Like that's what it sounded like. And I got tubes when I was 2, and after a week of green gunk coming, like I'd wake up from naps and stuff and sleeping and just green gunk all over the pillows, which would be everywhere, that all of a sudden I was talking clearly. Right. And, you know, they said that my tubes were not shaped properly, but I will say as an adult, I've had braces. I didn't need a palate spreader. My tongue does sit, I think, correctly. I feel like I was like, where does my tongue sit?
It's amazing. Often we'll be talking with a child about their issues.
Uh-huh.
And I can see the parents going, wait a minute, I have that now. You can see them diagnosing themselves, you know?
Yeah. That's totally what I was doing while you were talking. But you know, after I got braces and stuff, my ears got better. Like I still feel like they probably were not shaped correctly because that's like my first sign of like, I'm getting a cold as my ears hurt. But I know that chronic ear infections are a huge complaint in children. Luckily, my children, I extend breastfeed. My son was 18 months. My daughter was still her 4th birthday. So it was, and my daughter has a beautiful jaw. Luckily, ortho has looked at her and they're like, nope, there's nothing we need to do. And I'm just like, score. Now maybe the extended breastfeeding was a good thing.
There's no question it helped.
Yeah. And genetics. Her dad is a second generation Mexican American. He has that big Indian wide jaw with perfect teeth. And so
space between teeth, even maybe.
Yep. I have like no wisdom teeth that grew in. My front teeth were crooked, like completely sideways. You know, my braces had to fix everything when I was a teen. But yeah, it's so interesting. So is there anything else that like maybe parents can look for or anything like that?
Sure. I'll give you some signs. obviously just not sleeping well. Like if they hear their child trying to get up in the middle of the night often, or we'll have children that they eat things. They'll go to the kitchen and they'll eat Oreos or sugary snacks or something to try to stay awake, or, you know, or to try to help themselves go to sleep or settle themselves down with carbohydrates. The things that the telltale signs are things like venous pooling, dark circles under the eyes. That's an indicator that a child is not sleeping well or not breathing well. Mm-hmm. Drooling. Think about it. If a child's mouth breathing all the time, they can't swallow the saliva because they're breathing through their mouth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll have little kiddos that, you know, look 71 years old. They have dark circles under their eyes, their heads forward, their mandible is back, and they're drooling. Mouth breathing. If you notice your child like falling asleep in the car seat and, you know, breathing, that's not normal. Perfectly aligned baby teeth that are just jammed together, perfectly aligned upper and lower teeth. I have moms come in and say, you know, Tommy is not going to need braces. His teeth are perfectly straight. And I'm like, look, when we see baby teeth that are perfectly aligned and jammed together, that's actually crowding, because the adult teeth that are coming in later are three times the size, some of them. And so a normal pediatric smile, you can fit the width of a dime coin in between the teeth. So if you're listening out there and your child, you look back in the car seat and you're driving right now to pick up your older kids at school, and you hear and you look back there and their teeth are all jammed together and they're 4 years old, they need expansion. They need it now. I mean, they do, and it'll help them. And it's amazing how if you just a little bit of, you know, prevention now is such a pound of cure later on. You know, it's
for all kinds of things, for anxiety, for stress, for hypertension, for weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also you bring up another point, anxiety or issues or trouble sitting still at school before you go. I mean, they say 1 in 10 children in the public school system now are sent to the counselor daily for attention problems, can't sit still, disruptive in class, this kind of thing, not getting their work finished, not focusing. Before any of you out there listening, take your child and put them on a stimulant, or have a doctor that will put them on a stimulant, rule out some sort of sleep issue first. Mm. It won't cost you anything except a little bit of time.
Well, sleep issues and jaw issues, right? So not just sleep apnea, but understand that the apnea is related to the mouth.
Oh, no question. It's 100% caused by the narrow jaws. Too narrow, too crowded. Yep. And because we want the kiddos breathing through their nose, nice and smooth, easy. And we can show you the before and afters, these kids on videos with an appliance in their mouth and just lips together and, you know, gently, softly sleeping so productively. So it's really good.
That's incredible. If somebody is they're dealing with apnea and things like that, like I can think of like probably 20 people in my head right now that I'm like, you guys need to listen to this episode. Where would someone start? Like, I haven't heard of very many people ever being, you know, having their dentist address their palate or their teeth or anything like that. So, or, you know, again, like tongue tie doesn't get diagnosed very often. So how would an adult who's listening to this and they're, you know, doing what I was doing, going through the list as you were going through things, if they were to search for and maybe do a consult with a dentist or ask, what questions do they ask? You know, like where do they start?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can just Google sleep dentist. If you'll Google that, your Google search engine will probably find somebody in your area, you know, that has had some similar training that I've had. And they're out there. I'd say about, you know, it's somewhere between 1 and 10% of the dental community is aware of this and talks about it on a daily basis. And but there are some great companies, you know, out there that make appliances for children. There's 4 or 5 of them, and you can just type in, you know, children's sleep appliances. I mean, you can even find some on Amazon that, if you trust that their FDA approval rating is strong enough, you know, you can find them fairly inexpensively. So might even look into that. But there's, I would just do some constructive Googling, and you can find the folks that are out there and the companies that provide the services.
That's great to know. One last question, and this goes back to kids and binkies and, you know, plugs. Are there any that are designed to help with that? Like, cause you know, some, my kids have never been, have been binky kids. Like I've never, that's not something I've ever pushed or felt needed to do. Like, and they would just spit them out. So I'm like, why am I going to force it? Right. But right. I know lots of people that's really, really.
And mine always spit them out into like sand or, you know, they had this uncanny ability to spit
it out. The dirtiest place imaginable.
The barnyard. Yeah. Or somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Well, I will give you a doctor's name here. You need to, moms need to check out what Dr. Liz Turner is doing. She is brilliant, great with the breastfeeding and teaching all of that. She'll know everything about the best orthodontic pacifiers.
Perfect.
So that's my bit of curation for you there.
Thank you. I love to give people resources and places to start versus inform and have fun Googling. Giving a little bit of direction helps a lot. We are running out of time. I would love to have you back to go deeper because I know that you are just a wealth of knowledge. So I will get that arranged. But is there any, how can people connect with you? How are they? Are you on social media? Like, how can they get connected with you as a resource?
Sure. I'm on Instagram. You can follow me at Blaine Leeds. I might post something about music or something, a funny meme or something, you know, it's not going to be all dentistry. So but you can find me there. I'm building a new webpage for the book. So it's www.askdrleeds.com. You can just go there. And also we have another page set up just for podcasting called Sweet Dream Smiles, where if you go there, sweetdreamsmiles.com, if you go there, there'll be a free gift of some kind just for listening to the podcast today. You can go and get I think right now it's the first chapter of the book and the outline of the book. So there's, you can get the tips there. And then maybe in the future, there'll be a little short video there that'll give you some sleep tips.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. I'm so excited that we've gotten connected and I already can't wait to keep talking.
Well, it sounds great. I'm equally excited and have a great rest of your Friday. Thanks.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you found this episode helpful, would you do me a favor and help others find it by leaving a review, sharing a screenshot on social media, or sharing the link with a friend? By you sharing what you've learned, others are able to find this podcast and join our community. Be sure to check out my website, www.roadtolivingwhole.com, for over 160 delicious recipes, a variety of meal plans, and a blog packed full of even more healthy living tips. If you'd like to learn more about how to work with me as your coach, you can schedule a free consult through www.roadtolivingwhole.com/health-coaching/. Until next time, friend. Bye.